If anyone wants the four boons, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, he should do the seva of the sadhu. If anyone wants to finish the pain of birth and death, he should always chant God's name in his heart. If anyone wants the glory, he should leave the egoism in the company of the saints. If anyone is afraid of birth and death, he should take the shelter of the saint. Nanak sacrifices everything for those people who are thirsty for God's darshan. This is Dibhajan Charapadarat on page 156 by Guru Arjan Dev. If anyone wants the four boons, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, which of course are worldly success, religion, desire, and liberation, he should do the seva of the sadhu. This is Master Kripal's circular, which was issued on this day, June 6, in 1967. He says, how fortunate you are that you have been initiated into the secret inner paths leading to the kingdom of God, the kingdom that comes not by observation without, but that which lies within you. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Verily you are so, and you have witnessed within yourselves the primal manifestations of the Godhead, no matter at what level, according to your mental makeup and the receptivity developed by you. You have seen what many prophets and righteous men desired to see but did not see, and you have heard what they desired to hear but did not hear. God is spirit and can only be worshipped in spirit. You must therefore try to rise over and above the body consciousness and strive to arise into the consciousness of the higher order. I mean spiritual consciousness. Rather than remain tied to your own persons, or in fact to any other person, however great he may appear to be in his own eyes or in the eyes of others. Principles are higher, much higher, I would say, than personalities. Persons may come and go, personal cults may linger for a while, yet principles, the spiritual values, last and last beyond time. Your main concern should now be to develop the inner experience granted to you. Love the God in action power with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul. This will enable you to expand beyond all measure, so as to embrace the totality of his being, far above party affiliations, party politics, and all politicking. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. Do glory unto the God power, and you shall be glorified in return, without any effort on your part. That is the law. And again, a fruit-laden tree bends with the weight of the fruit it bears. Try to cultivate and attain the divine virtues of love, humility, and understanding for all. Who is there under the sun who has no failings and shortcomings? With all our righteousnesses, we are but filthy rags. Be polite and courteous with all. Courtesy costs you nothing, but it pays rich dividends. Human heart is verily the seat of God and must be kept sanctified at all times and at all costs, no matter what the sacrifice. Learn to live peacefully and amicably with each other, giving due regard to the feelings and sentiments of others. By love, serve one another should be your rule in life. A loving service adorns both the server and the served alike. The above injunctions apply equally, nay, with greater force, to the group leaders and representatives of the Master, for they have to set a better example to all those who are within the sphere of their influence. They must know that they are just instruments in the divine plan, and not the flywheel running the plan itself. And unless they work smoothly in loving harmony and cooperation, they are bound to generate heat by constant friction, damaging not only the quality of the work, but even themselves. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. And I should mention, this circular is just absolutely full of quotations from the Bible. About every other sentence is actually taken from the Bible. A lot of Master Kripal's writings did this, but some of them more than others. Should the protecting hedge itself start nibbling the farm enclosed in its fold, you can well imagine what would remain of the farm, a pestilence-stricken, arid ground of no consequence. It hardly serves any useful purpose to cast aspersions upon anybody or assign motives to whatever one says or does, for it is not given to us to read anybody's mind when we cannot read even our own. Judge not, lest ye be judged and found wanting in the divine scales. Therefore, arraign not anybody, much less your colleagues and brothers in faith. In the case of honest differences of opinion, which sometimes may arise, try to iron them out lovingly and in private, rather than wash the dirty linen in public meetings and public places, spreading a nauseating foul smell around you. If you cannot do so between yourselves, for one reason or another, you will do well to refer the problem to the Master for solution and reconciliation of the apparently divergent views. I therefore enjoin on all of you to keep loving and friendly relations among yourselves as children of the same Father, and do not do anything that may make anybody raise a pointing finger at you and bring disrepute to the highest knowledge, the science of the beyond, which you have come by after an evolution through ages past. Ye are the light of the world, and hence should keep this light aloft on the hilltop, so that those who see it, even from a distance, are encouraged to seek you for advice and bless you for your sage counsel and the master power that helps you to it. As such, you are to help your brothers in faith, keeping them firm in their loving devotion to the Master, instead of coming in between them and the Master, for all belong to him. All of us are, in fact, fruit gatherers in the vineyard of the Master. We have nothing in us to recommend us to his grace. The puppets in the pantomime show dance not by themselves, but by the wire puller behind the screen. To assume any importance in doing the Master's work is not worthy of noble souls, as you are. We are all of the Master and for the Master, but not the Master. Guru buys and not the Guru, for Guru power is only in one commissioned from above. The Master knows best how to carry on the divine plan. Let us therefore submit our individual wills to his will and not appropriate to ourselves any credit for the gifts freely and lovingly bestowed upon us by him. After all, what is there in the conduits that simply pass on the refreshing and life-giving water that comes from the overhead reservoir, the Master Power? The greatness of the Master is not to be judged by the strength of his following or by the outer glamour of his court. He is not after wealth, nor after name and fame, nor after the numbers that follow him. He, standing on the hilltop, knows in what hearts the fire of anguish is smoldering, and, like oxygen, comes in so many diverse ways to fan the flames of loving devotion in them. So nobody should feel that he or she is indispensable, and therefore put on airs which others may resent or cavil at. Remember that we cannot add to or detract from the glory that is his. If we can be of any service in his cause, that may, on the contrary, be taken as a privilege coming from him in his grace. In the end, I hope that every one of you, whatever your position in life, whatever your place in the administrative setup for furthering the holy cause, will contribute his might, M-I-T-E, might, little thing, as best as possible, in a spirit of loving and selfless service, and try to enrich himself inwardly by living in peace and amity in his respective circle, radiating nothing but fragrance to all around him, as so many children in the one grand family of man. One thing more, which I cannot help but emphasize for the benefit of all the dear ones on the path. If at all, any of you, at any time, feel that you are the most favored in divine manifestations, you should try to exercise restraint and observe decorum in society, rather than be carried away by the emotional tide that may take you off your feet. Humility is the first and last adornment that embellishes the noble soul. My best wishes are ever with you, and nothing will give me greater pleasure than to see you all well set on the spiritual path, with appreciation of each other, moving shoulder to shoulder, forming one spiritual phalanx, so that those who see you will admire you and get inspiration from you. Wishing you one and all Godspeed on the God way. Yours affectionately, Kripal Singh. And I thought I would read the last section in the Unity of Man of my book, Stumbling Toward God. Section titled Farewell. It's the last few days that I was ever with the Master. A lot happened, which I will read. This, of course, was in February 1974 in India at the World Conference on Unity of Man. So the final day of the conference was the Master's birthday, and an early morning session, 5:30 a.m., was scheduled to celebrate it. While the Master said not a word in English during the whole session, it remains in my memory as the most powerful and charged satsang I have ever attended. Master had never been more beautiful. Sick, exhausted, 80 years old, he radiated love and easy good humor. Deferred constantly to Yogi Bhajan, half his age, refused to give a proper discourse or to speak in English or to give out prasad, all of which was expected by various members of the audience. Instead, he conducted what looked like a good-humored private conversation that just happened to go out over the microphone with Yogi Bhajan and Pir Vilayat Khan in Hindi, then asked the yogi to translate for him. At the end, rather than giving out prasad, he requested Yogi Bhajan to give it out and himself took the first prasad from the yogi's hands, a gesture of humility that was astonishing under the circumstances. The tent, after all, contained 50,000 persons who were disciples of Kripal Singh, who were there to celebrate Kripal Singh's birthday and who wanted Kripal Singh's prasad. All in all, a very interesting morning. After the conference was over and I had returned home, what stayed with me most strongly was gratitude for the personal grace that the Master had given me by allowing me to see him privately so often when he was so terribly busy and there were so many others pressing on his time. Night after night, I would find myself at his feet in his living room with a very few people or sometimes alone, with little or no effort on my part. On one occasion when I was sitting on the floor at his feet and we were alone, he said out of a silence, "You should make the pond bigger." This was a surprise. I had to think very hard to remember that his last words to me as he was leaving Sant Bani Ashram in 1972 were, "Develop the pond more, please." He was referring to the pond which we had dug at the ashram and which we were standing next to at that moment. Other people had also heard him say that, and it had been recorded on tape. But because of the expense and difficulty involved in pumping the pond dry and getting the bulldozers in again, I had chosen to interpret his remarks as meaning that we should beautify the land around the pond and make it more suitable for meditation. In retrospect, that seems like a real cop-out on my part, but I had convinced myself that that was what he meant and then forgotten about it. Now he was being very specific. "You should make the pond bigger." I stupidly asked, "You want us to make the pond bigger, Master?" He nodded, "Bigger and deeper. Who knows? You might find a spring." I promised him that we would do it as soon as feasible, and the following August, when he left the body, the work was just beginning. And while I was in India in connection with his passing, Judith wrote me that the bulldozer had uncovered a spring. The conference ended that day, the master's birthday, and although I was asked to address it, the brief talk I gave was not nearly as satisfying as the panel had been. By this time I was getting sick, the weather was cold, and many of the Western disciples were coming down with one thing or another. Dr. Richard Cardozo, a heart surgeon from New Hampshire and a good friend, was treating a line of 20 to 30 people every morning, and I was feeling miserable. Headache, cold symptoms, exhaustion, you name it. This may well have colored the almost disastrous series of mistakes I made in the following days. These, of course, were the last few days I ever spent with him on the physical plane. Although I didn't know it, he did. During those days, it so happened that I was often in the position of having made up my mind and decided something, and then discovered that everything was entirely different. The following is adapted from a talk I gave a year later, reminiscing about the conference. At the satsang after the conference was over, one of the conveners announced that there would be a meeting right after the satsang of the following people. And he read off a list of names, which included mine, and we were all supposed to come and attend. We were going to discuss things about how to carry on the work. But I didn't want to go to that meeting in the worst way. I was tired, I was sick, I had just been to satsang, and I wanted to go to my room and meditate. I did not want to go to the meeting. But I felt, well, Master said it was my job to be here. My name was called, I have an obligation, I'd better go. So very reluctantly I went, very reluctantly. I went in and Mr. Srivastava was there, Mr. Serene, and they motioned me to a chair near them which happened to be near the head of the table. I sat down, but I was very disgruntled. The meeting began. It was back and forth and people's opinions, and my headache got worse. All that stuff gives me a terrible headache. And I didn't say anything. I just don't feel I've got the strength to push through that wall of constant verbiage. So I listened, and this man had this opinion, and that man had that opinion. All of a sudden, the master came in. No one was expecting him. When I realized he was there, I turned around, and it was like the sun had just come out on a gray day. He was standing there in the room, and it seemed like he was 10 feet high and too tall for the ceiling. He came in and took a chair, the chair next to me. He was 6 inches away from me at this meeting that I hadn't even wanted to attend. He was so close it was like I couldn't see anything. The light was so dazzling. He pulled up his chair to the table and took part in the meeting. I had to move my chair over to make room for him. He squeezed in between Mr. Srivastava and me and sat there, and I had marvelous darshan for at least a half hour. Not only that, the whole feeling of the room, everything that happened at the meeting, went shooting up 10 degrees. All of a sudden, the verbosity stopped. All the opinions, all the ego play that was going on just vanished, and we got right down to essences. There was no fooling around. And there were a lot of things that were like that. One night I had failed very badly. I was feeling very self-important, and Michael Grayson asked me something, and some of the things I said he didn't like, and he let me know it, and I lost my temper at him. I really got angry, and I told him off. And then I went right over to Master's house because I had to go over to look at pictures for Satsandesh. I didn't expect to see Master. But I went over carrying this thing, that I had lost my temper and had violated the sanctity of the ashram. Only I wasn't thinking of it in those terms yet. I was still feeling self-important and complacent. It hadn't fully dawned on me what I had done. So I went over to Master's house And I went into the reception room, and Master was there. He was giving darshan. So I sat down in a far corner, and he saw me and called me up. He made me sit about 2 feet in front of him. And I never in my life experienced such love from him as he gave me that night. He said, "Thank God you have come." I was sitting there and he was beaming this love at me. He asked me when I was leaving and I said, "Wednesday night." This was Sunday night. He said, "You should stay 3 days longer." "Oh, I can't, Master. I have too many things to do. People expecting me, this and that." He laughed and said, "That's all right." And then he said, "What are you going to write about the conference?" So I told him some of the things I had thought of. He said, "You'd better write it here while it's still fresh in your mind. When you get home, it will be stale." And I said, "Oh, no, Master, I always write better back there." He said, "All right." You know, he continued to love me, even though I had gone over there with the weight of the anger and loss of temper hanging over me, and then I had twice argued with him. He had told me 2 very specific things, and I had said no. So I went back to my room. My stomach was upset, and I couldn't sleep all night. I sat there in bed trying to sleep, and the events of the evening were going around and around in my head. Suddenly, I began to see things. First of all, that I had sinned very badly. I had lost my temper. I had gone to Master with that on my head. And what had he given me? Total forgiveness. Absolute love. Don't think for 1 minute that he can't see what a person has done. He can. I've had experience with that 100 times over. He knew exactly what I had done, but he gave me love anyway. Then he had given me 2 specific commandments. For all my talk about obeying the Master 100%, I had done what any idiot could have done and said no. So all that was going around in my head, and I spent the whole night in meditation. I couldn't sleep. It was no virtue on my part. So I sat 6 or 7 hours that night. I couldn't wait for the morning to come. I was going to put everything right. The first thing I did, I found Michael, at whom I had gotten angry, and dragged him over to that same room where I had lost my temper because the same people were there. And I apologized to him and begged his forgiveness. He forgave me totally. He said, "Fine, didn't care in the least, excellent." So that was one thing. Then I went running over to Master's house. I said, "Master, I want to stay longer. You told me to last night. Did you really mean that? I was thinking that you were just being polite." He said, "No, no, it's up to you. You know better. Whatever you want. No imposition. If you can stay 1 or 2 days more, might be good, but it's for you to say." "I want to do what you want, Master." He laughed. Then I said, "I'll write the article here." He said, "No, no, you know better. Whatever you think." I said, "No, Master, you know better." And I went down to the ticket office that day, and the only flight I could get was exactly 3 days later than the one I had had. When I got back that night, Master said, "Are you going to write the article here or there?" I said, "Here, Master." He said, "Good, then you'll have to stay longer." So I knew it was the real thing. Well, in those 3 days, I did write the article, and I gave it to him to read, and he read it and told me he liked it, which was a very sweet thing for me. And many things happened that made it a good thing that I stayed that long. But I didn't want to, you see. This is an important thing, the way Master works with all of us on every level. He does not impose. When we become disciples of a real Master, we don't become slaves. He is not a dictator or a tyrant. He gently points out to us what would be for our own good. If we take it, okay. If we don't, well, he never says, "Bad person, you'll have to pay for this." He never talks like that. He says, "No, no, you know better. It's all right. No imposition, whatever you want." He talks like that. He leaves it up to us. It's because of the inherent dignity of the human being, I would say, that he acts this way. because as he has said, quoting Jesus, I have come not to make slaves of you, to make friends of you. On the last day of my stay, Reno Sirene had an interview scheduled with the master. And Reno, knowing it was my last day, very kindly asked me if I would like to come with him. I didn't say much during the interview, but Reno talked with the master about a certain very sticky situation involving two satsangi married couples, the husband of one and the wife of the other having fallen in love. They had recently left New Hampshire and moved to California, and Reno was very aware of them. He asked the master if he would intervene on the inner planes. The master said no. Maulana Rumi says that God himself cannot change a man who does not want to change. Those were among the last words that I ever heard Master say, and I've never forgotten them. That night I was feeling sad and depressed over leaving, even though he had given me another hour and had teased and joked with me and allowed me to sit there while people came and went. I did not feel the deep, intense grief that I had felt in the past on leaving him, felt instead a dull depression like a toothache and a feeling of wanting more. And at that, when Master was doing that, was letting me sit there and was teasing and so forth, and there were a lot of people coming and going. He was joking. He was a tremendous, tremendous good humor. He was so funny. And there were these two ladies there who were also leaving that night. And they said to Master, you know, they told him we were leaving. And he said, what? You're leaving tonight? I've hardly seen you. Where have you been? And he said, well, Master, you know, he says, like a bolt from the blue. You know, you're telling me you're going. Why haven't I seen you? And he said, well, Master, you know, you were terribly busy. And he said, he pointed to me. I was sitting on the floor. He said, he's been here every night. And I felt like falling through the floor. Couldn't believe it. And the ladies were totally astonished. The whole thing was absolutely incredible. Anyway, as we said goodbye to him for the last time, about 16 persons were leaving that night, including several group leaders. Jim Russell and I were at the end of the line as we filed past him at the door. When we reached him, he put out his arm and stopped us from continuing and made us sit down again. He heaped prasad on us, bags and bags of sugar candy, and gave us the sweetest goodbye imaginable. When we got up to go, I felt happy and fulfilled and very, very grateful. Was the last gift he gave me as Kripal Singh. 6 months later, August 21st, 1974, we all received word that he had died. It was the end of our world as we had known it. And you know, when we think, you know, it's so important to remember the lessons that I learned during that stay. That Master is our friend, is not our judge. He does not want to find fault with us. He does not want to punish us. He is not interested in making us pay off our karma, although, in fact, we generally do have to pay it off. But that is not where he is at. He wants to bring us home, and he will use any effort, any trick, any way, anything he can do that will jiggle us in such a way that we will keep our faces turned in that direction. You know, in the story of the man with the three stuffed chapatis and the thief who stole one of them, throughout, that master from whom he stole that chapati had only one thing that he wanted him to do, and that is to recognize what he had done and own up to it. It's all he wanted from him. And when he couldn't get it by, you know, the fire, the flood, the tiger, and all that, then he created those three piles of gold and jewels on the ground, because the man, after all, has throughout been identified as the greedy man. And he said, all right, one of these piles is for you, one is for me, and the third is for whoever ate that third stuffed chapati. And that the man who had been denying all along, yes, master, it was me, I ate it. Sanchi says that's all he wanted, you see. He had to get him to admit that he had done it, and then he could take him up. So he wants to take us up, and he does whatever he can to make sure that he can do that. And all those lessons that he put me through in that week, you know, God knows I'm still learning them, but they were done so as to make it easier for me. You know, all I can think of is paraphrase Mark Antony's words in Shakespeare's play, this was a master, when comes such another? And that's the way, you know, he comes in different bodies, I'm not saying that, but this was a master.
ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਿਰਫ ਆਉਣ ਜਾਣ ਵਾਲਿਆਂ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਹੀ 2 ਮਿੰਟ ਸਰਾਮ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਹੀ ਬਣਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚਣਾ ਹੈ ਉਸਦਾ ਇਹ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਰਸਤੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੈਠ ਜਾਵੇ ਜਾਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਹੀ ਆਪਣਾ ਘਰ ਬਣਾ ਲਵੇ ਸਿਆਣਾ ਆਦਮੀ ਉਹੀ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਆਰਾਮ ਆਪਣੀ ਮੰਜ਼ਿਲ ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਕਰੇ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਆਪਣੇ ਤਜਰਬੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਬਤਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੱਚ ਸਮਝੀ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੋ ਇਹ ਸੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਇਹ ਮਿਥਿਆ ਹੈ ਕੂੜ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਤੱਕ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਦੇਹ ਨਾਲ ਵੀ ਆਪਾਂ ਇਤਨਾ ਲਗਾਓ ਪਿਆਰ ਪਾਈ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਕਿਰਾਏ ਦਾ ਮਕਾਨ ਹੈ ਇੱਕ ਦਿਨ ਆਪਾਂ ਇੱਥੇ ਛੱਡ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਮਿੱਟੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦਫਨਾ ਦੇਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਅੱਗ ਦੇ ਸਪੁਰਦ ਕਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਟਰੈਵਲਿੰਗ ਔਨ ਅਵਰ ਵੇ ਵੀ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਮੈਨੀ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ ਮੈਨੀ ਹਾਊਸਿਸ ਵਿਚ ਆਰ ਮੇਡ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਟਰੈਵਲਰਸ ਟੂ ਰੈਸਟ If the travelers, instead of resting there for a while, make that house as their own place and do not continue their journey, they will never get to their destination. In the same way, Swamiji Maharaj says that lovingly and from our own experience, we are telling you that whatever we see with our eyes, this world is all unreal, it is all false, it is not our permanent abode, it is not our permanent home, not even the body in which we are living now is our own. This is also like a rented house, and one day we have to even leave this body. Some people will surrender this body to the fire, some people will surrender their body to the earth. Not even this body is going to go with us, then what to talk about the things in the world.
Kabir Sahib kehnde hai, jab jariya tab hoye pasam dal, pasam tan rahe kirm dal khai. ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਅੱਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸਾੜਦਾ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਮੁੱਠੀ ਸਵਾਹ ਦੀ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਮਿੱਟੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਦਫਨਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਬੇਸ਼ੁਮਾਰ ਜੋ ਗਿਣਤੀ ਚ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ ਇਤਨੇ ਕਿਰਮ ਜੀਵ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਉਸ ਮਿੱਟੀ ਨੂੰ ਖਾ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਬੋਡੀ ਇਜ਼ ਬਰਨਟ ਇਟ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਹੈਂਡਫੁਲ ਆਫ ਐਸ਼ਸ ਇਫ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਬਰੀਡ ਕਾਊਂਟਲੈਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਚਰਸ ਆਰ ਬੋਰਨ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਈਟ ਅਪ ਦ ਡੈਡ ਬੋਡੀ क्यों नहीं करत विचार जग मिथ्या ये है सही मन है बड़ा गवार मोह रहा कर प्यार छूटे कैसे जार से
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਫਸਾਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਹੈ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਮੋਹ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਮਨ ਹੈ ਮਨ ਕਾਲ ਦਾ ਏਜੰਟ ਹੈ ਬੜੀ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤੀ ਸੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਕੰਮ ਕਰੀ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਆਪਣਾ ਕੰਮ ਕੱਢੀ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਥਿੰਗ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਐਂਟੈਂਗਲਿੰਗ ਅਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਕੀਪਿੰਗ ਅਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਥਿੰਗ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿੰਗ ਦੀ ਅਟੈਚਮੈਂਟ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਏਜੰਟ ਆਫ ਨੈਗੇਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਰੀ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲੀ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਹਿਸ ਵਰਕ He is keeping us in this world. Man hai bada gawar moh raha kar pyar chhoote kaise jaar se bin guru chale na dao व्यवस्था के सभी उपाय कर।
हुण आप कहंदे आ मन बुद्धि नाल हर आदमी ने हर समाज ने इना चीजा तो छुटन की कोशिश की है। काम तो बचिए, क्रोध तो बचिए, लोभ मोह हंकार तो बचिए। आप कहन लगे आखिर सब थक गए, हार गए, जिन्हां नूं पूरा गुरु मिल गया, गुरु दे दसे हुए शब्द नाम दी कमाई कीती, कहन लगे ओही इस संसार विच कामयाब होए, बाकी सब हार के मन दे गए, हथियार सिट के चले गए।
नाउ स्वामी जी महाराज से दैट एवरी रिलीजन, एवरी रिलीजियस पीपल ट्राइड यूजिंग देयर माइंड एंड इंटेलेक्ट एंड देयर आउटर राइट्स एंड रिचुअल्स टू गेट रिड ऑफ दिस माइंड। They all wanted to protect themselves from the lust, anger, greed, attachment and egoism. But they were not successful because mind and intellect does not help us in this. Finally, in the end, they surrendered themselves to their mind and they went away. But those who got the perfect master, those who got the real way of doing the devotional thought, only with the help of the master, they were able to get rid of all these passions and they were able to control their mind.
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮਨ ਦੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਕੋਈ ਤਾਕਤ ਨਹੀਂ, ਆਪਣੀ ਕੋਈ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਮਨ ਜੜ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਚੇਤਨ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਵਰਗਲਾਈ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਮਜ਼ੋਰ ਕਰੀ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਇਹ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੈ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਦਰਖਤ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਅਮਰਵੇਲ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੀ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਤੇ ਕੋਈ ਜੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਗੀ, ਉਹ ਜੋ ਵੀ ਸਤਾ ਦਰਖਤ ਤੋਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਦਰਖਤ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਕਮਜ਼ੋਰ ਕਰੀ ਬੈਠੀ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਮਨ ਆਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਤਾਕਤ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਹੀ ਕਮਜ਼ੋਰ ਕਰੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ।
ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਪਾਵਰ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਓਨ, ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਟੇਕਿੰਗ ਦ ਪਾਵਰ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਐਂਡ ਟੇਕਿੰਗ ਦ ਪਾਵਰ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਮੇਕਿੰਗ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਵੀਕਰ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਇਜ਼ ਅਨਕੋਨਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਐਂਡ ਸੋਲ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਕੋਨਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਐਂਟੀਟੀ। ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਸਪੈਸ਼ਲ ਕਾਈਂਡ ਆਫ ਮਾਈਂਡ, ਇਫ ਵੀ ਥਰੋ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਈਨ ਔਨ ਅ ਟ੍ਰੀ, ਦੈਟ ਵਾਈਨ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਰੂਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਗਰਾਊਂਡ। That wine takes the power, takes the energy from the branches of the tree and weakens the tree. In the same way, the mind is taking the power from the soul and making the soul weaker.
Bin guru chale na da tha ke sabhi upao kar naam samaro meet ਧੀਰਜ ਦਰ ਗਟ ਮੇਰਾ ਹੋ।
ਸੰਤ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰੋ। ਨਾਮ ਕਮਾਈ ਜਦੋਂ ਕਰੋਗੇ ਮਨ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਚਲਾਕੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਾਂ ਆਸ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰੇਗਾ ਜਾਂ ਕਾਹਲੀ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰੇਗਾ ਕਿ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਇਤਨੇ ਦਿਨ ਹੋ ਗਏ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਨੂੰ, ਕੁਛ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਇਆਗਾ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਕਹੇ ਕਦੇ ਵੀ ਨਾ ਲੱਭੋ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ ਨੂੰ ਆਪਣਾ ਟਿਕਾਣਾ ਬਣਾ ਲਓ, ਚਲਦੇ ਫਿਰਦੇ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੇ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਨਾ ਭਟਕਣ ਦਿਓ, ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ ਤੇ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਆਕਾਗਰ ਰੱਖੋ।
ਸੰਤ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ। ਈਵਨ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ, ਅਵਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਕੰਟੀਨਿਊਸ ਪਲੇਇੰਗ ਟ੍ਰਿਕਸ ਔਨ ਅਸ, ਈਦਰ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟ ਦ ਲੇਜ਼ੀਨੈਸ ਔਰ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟ ਦ ਫੀਲਿੰਗ ਆਫ ਹਰੀ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਮੇਕ ਅਸ ਫੀਲ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਗੈਟਿੰਗ ਨੋਵੇਅਰ ਈਵਨ ਆਫਟਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਫਾਰ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਲੌਂਗ ਟਾਈਮ। ਸੋ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ that don't let your mind do that, don't let your mind wander here and there, don't let your mind think anything except the sacred words while you are meditating. Keep your mind at the eye center, make the eye center as the permanent place for your mind and don't let him go anywhere else.
Mahatma sanu pyar na dasde hai jo man mangda hai, jo ichha paida karda hai, oh na deo aur apne aap nu sada guru de hawale rakho, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜਦ ਮਨ ਵਰਿਆਈ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਆਸ਼ਾ ਉਠਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਵਰਿਆਈ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਪ੍ਰੇਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਔਰ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਕਹਾ ਖੜੇ ਕਰ ਲਓ। ਅਗਰ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਉਧਰ ਤੁਰ ਗਏ ਤਾਂ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਮਰੀਦ ਹੋ ਗਏ, ਅਗਰ ਉਸ ਵਰਿਆਈ ਤੋਂ ਹਟ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਵਿਚ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੋ ਤਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਮਰੀਦ ਹੈ।
ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਡਿਜ਼ਾਇਰ ਦ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਸ ਔਰ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਥਿੰਗ ਦ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਵਾਂਟਸ ਫਰੋਮ ਯੂ, ਡੋਂਟ ਗਿਵ ਹਿਮ ਦੈਟ, ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਸਰੈਂਡਰ ਯੋਰ ਸੈਲਫ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ। ਇਫ ਯੋਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਇਜ਼ craving for any worldly thing, if he is creating any worldly desire or anything, always have your master as well as your mind in front of you. If you are going towards the master, it means that you are the disciple of the master. But if you are obeying your mind and doing the thing which your mind had wanted you to do, it means that you are not the disciple of the master, you have become a slave to your mind.
ਨਾਮ ਸਮਾਰੋ ਮੀਤ.
My closing bhajan is on page 12. Rehman Siyana Hoja. O mind, become wise. You have experienced a great loss. Do the true merchandise. Your debt has grown large. In the womb you promised the Satguru and he liberated you. As a child you played and jumped. In your youth the bad thoughts and deeds came over you. After passing through youth, old age has come, and you have carried this bag of sin on your head. You collected Maya by collecting pennies, and you never came in the saint's shelter. You have done mine, mine. You lived in a temporary home like birds, and in the end lay down in the dust. Now and then, O mind, you became a sadhu and blew the conch, carrying the begging bowl in a bag, putting on ashes. At every home you aroused others in God's name. Then after begging, you ate others' food without meditating. After going in the temple and ringing the cymbal, after getting the long tilak mark, you make yourself worship the stone idol of Ram that you have made. Swallowed by the worship of money, O fool, you have become a young bull, useless except for reproduction. O mind, become wise. You have experienced a great loss. Bhajan of Mastanaji on page 12.
Re man syana hoja girdali are tane tota. 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 Sach soda kadile re ted kad ja hogi mota. Sach soda kadile re ted kad ja hogi mota. Re man syana hoja kedali aade tane tota. 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 Garb bas me kirara kya satguru ne pand chudaya. Garb bas me kirara kya satguru ne pand chudaya. Bala abas kel kud me javani me mad chaya. Bala abas kel kud me javani me mad chaya. Chawani beat budapa agya sir darliya pap burota. Re man syana hoja kedali aade tane tota. Re man syana hoja girdali aade tane tota. Re man syana hoja girdali aade tane tota. Re man syana hoja girdali aade tane tota. Kodi kodi karke maya jodi jodi aata mal batera. Kodi kodi karke maya jodi jodi aata mal batera. Na kabhi aaya sant sharan mein tin kiya ta mera mera. ना कभी आया संत शरण में तिन किया त मेरा मेरा सिद्धिया जैसा रहम बसरा अंत कख में लेते रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत कभी कभी रे मन साधु बन जाए लंबा शंख बजाता कभी कभी रे मन साधु बन जाए लंबा शंख बजाता जोलिक फाडल काक में गड़ गड़ आलक जगाता जोलिका पर डाल काक में गड़ गड़ अलक जगाता फिर मांग मांग का खाता रे बिन भजन पर यारोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत जा मंदिर में ताल बजावे लंबा तिलक लगा के जा मंदिर में थाल बजावे लंबा तिलक लगा के आप गादे उसे आपे पूजे पाता कारम बना के आप गादे उसे आपे पूजे पाता कारम बना के तन पुजादा काका मुर्का बन गया सांदा जोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा गेड़ा लिया रे ताने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत रे मन स्याना हो जा केड़ा लिया रे तने तोत
O minds, become wise. You have experienced a great loss. Do the true merchandise. Your debt has grown large. May God bless us all.